Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If Satan has risen up against Satan and against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. From the very first story where we see about temptation in the scriptures, we find out that from the moment when Adam and Eve took the fruit of the tree, they decided that they were on the opposite side from God. They wanted nothing to do with God anymore because now God had become the enemy. The woman you gave me, the serpent you put in the garden beguiled me and I ate. And thus it's pretty easy to figure out when something or other against God is going on in our heart. It's when the good things of God are irritating or are repulsive to us. The forgiveness of sins comes front and center. When it irritates us that somebody is forgiven for their sins, then that's time to realize we are at enmity with God instead of rejoicing that God has taken the power of sin away. In the Old Testament, there is a story about an unnamed prophet. This man was sent by Elisha to anoint a general named Jehu. God had recognized already in advance that the king Ahab, who had married Jezebel and brought Baal worship into the country, which is the root meaning of that word, Baalzebul, God had said at some point that man's dynasty, the ruling leadership in the north, was going to be brought to an end and had to change. And so Elisha sends this unnamed prophet to go to the camp. The king Jehoram, he was sick and recovering from his battle wounds, and there were several generals on the eastern front trying to get the land back that was in the area around Syria, the very same land that is still fought about in this day. And this one fella came, and as he came, he said to Jehu, who was one of the generals, "Can I have a word with you?" He said, "Yes, you can have a word with me." And they stepped off to a place all by themselves, and the man took out a horn of oil, and he poured it over Jehu's head, and he said, "You're the new king now in the northern kingdom." And then he got out of there, and he left. Well, Jehu came back to the other generals at the table they were at or whatever, and the other general said, "What that Meshuggah want?" Well, Meshuggah is a very common Hebrew word used for cuckoo, loony oddball, nut, crazy guy. Now, here's a prophet, a man from God. They all knew who he was. "What that kook want?" And he says, "Oh, you know how they are." "Well, no, what did he say?" "Well, he anointed me king over Israel." And immediately the other generals bowed down and acknowledged Jehu as the new king, who then went and took power in the northern kingdom. There are people who are calling Jesus a Meshuggah, kook, nutty oddball, goofy one, strange guy. What in the world's going on with that fella anyway? They knew something strange was happening, but they're starting to say, this guy is on the wrong side. He's on the side of evil. He's on the side of wicked, weird stuff going on. Because we already know in the early part of Mark that Jesus has cast out demons. Powers that are taking hold of somebody and making trouble for them, and Jesus casts them out. Well, anytime something's going on, we all figure out a way to put it into a certain context. All you have to do is watch different channels on TV or listen to different talk radio things, and you find out the very same thing that's going on. One person has one view on it, another person has a very different view. How can you not see the way I think about this? How can you look at it that way? Don't you have any sense? Well, here they are. They're looking at Jesus using their own framework, And the Pharisees, who believed that you have to do everything just right before God and follow all of the laws and rules as they were interpreted through Jewish tradition, they look at Jesus and they've got to put him in a category that dismisses him as a nothing, as a kook, as an oddball. And so they say, oh yeah, sure, he can cast out demons. He's in cahoots with the devil. So Jesus says, let's look at this a minute. A house divided against itself cannot stand. The very text that Lincoln used when he was talking about keeping the United States together during the Civil War. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And we all know that there are circumstances that we have been in our lives where something goes wrong with us and others, and finally it gets to be too much and we can't take it anymore. And here they're talking about Jesus. They're looking at the good things that Jesus does. He has healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. He has cast out demons. He has helped a man who could not walk to walk once again. And instead of the Pharisees saying, isn't this great? Look at what God has done. They have to cut him down to size. And so Jesus has a response. They're the ones in trouble. The ones who look at the things of God and say there's nothing going on, there's nothing special, are the ones who are in trouble. We might look at that today, and we might say, there are people who will look at Christians and say, well, you've got nothing. Who do you think you are? You just believe in Jesus so that you can sin as much as you want to and get away with it, and then just go and ask him for forgiveness so you can do the same thing. Look at Christians. Look at what they've done through history. Look at how they've treated other people. Christians are nothing. Christians have nothing going on. That Jesus, whatever he was, he got himself caught up in some trouble. That's why they put him on a cross and got rid of him. He was a troublemaker. He wanted to change society. Cut him down. Put him in a category where you wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. And Jesus says to those who are sitting around him, those who say that I am involved in evil, who reject the fact that I come to bring the Spirit of God and to install that in people's hearts by the death and resurrection that I'm going to die so people can be at peace with me, those who say that's a bunch of meshuggah can never be saved, will be lost. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the benefits of Jesus dying and rising, who gives us peace with God. We do not earn it by what we do. We do not earn it by what we think. We do not earn it by what we stay away from. It is given to us as a gift. Even Jesus' own family at that point didn't get it. Even they thought he was getting wrapped up in things that were dangerous and probably wrong. He's going to get himself killed. Well, they were right about that. But that's why he came. He came because he wants us to see our relationship with God not by means of meshuggah, kookiness, wickedness, stupidness, but to see that he is the one who brings all things right again. Outside the garden, it looks like Satan wins. We look around at our history and at what comes every week to us in terms of the messages of what goes on in the world and in our own lives, and we would say, there's no winning here. It's just a bunch of bad stuff going on, a bunch of losing things going on. The Christian faith must not mean anything. The Christian church must be dying. It's not making any impact. When indeed, the seed grows secretly. And one heart at a time, the Holy Spirit works to give us peace that this world cannot give. Starting with our own hearts, that every single day we can find out we've been saved and redeemed. We are at peace with God, and that means that the power of Satan, the power of evil, does not control us. Is it there? Yes. Does it lurk around? Yes. Do we have to fall? No. Because if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and giving us a ministry of reconciliation. And so that's what we are. The will of God means that he wants everybody touched by that. Anyone who says, oh, I don't need that, sins against the Holy Spirit, blasphemes God, and said, what you've got is nothing. But as we hear that message, instead of holding back and pulling back and saying, well, that can't be true, the Holy Spirit helps us to rejoice and to say, that's me as well. That message, that forgiveness, that peace, we get to hear every single week. And when we do doubt and when we wonder and when we stand on the outside looking and saying, this stuff is crazy, or the church doesn't really have any impact, then we need to come to him, confess our sins, and say, Lord, open my heart that I might hear the good news again. Help me to be at peace. Help me to have hope and joy even in this world. And the Lord says he gives gifts. The main gift is the Spirit of God that breathed into Adam and Eve now breathes into us. And so we celebrate that for Bossy today, that he will be taken into the church through holy baptism. He has been a Christian, has lived his Christian life, but has not yet been baptized. And though he will have further instructions coming in the fall, he has declared his desire to have this gift of God imparted on him, that the Spirit of God will take hold of him with the blessing of Jesus' death and resurrection, that he too might have life everlasting. And thus we continue by celebrating this gift of grace that God is giving to Bossy. Amen.